CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Hi, my name is Shlomi Gantz, and I'm going to be talking to you for the next 45 minutes about bugs. Now, I know that for most of you, bugs aren't relevant because your applications are perfect and you never have bugs, right? Okay. Yeah, right. So you're just here to catch a little nap between sessions, right? Yeah, okay. So first I have to just, you know, apologize in advance. I didn't catch a lot of sleep tonight. Next time someone offers you fish stew, just say no. All right. All right. Also, I've been asked to ask you to fill out the surveys. Please fill them out, and this goes on my permanent record. So I've got to be careful. All right. So what's on the agenda? We're going to explore a couple of types of bugs. We're going to look at approaches to debugging and how I believe, or most people believe, we should debug. We're going to look at specifically at debugging tools that Cold Fusion has. And we're going to review all the tools that Cold Fusion has for you to do debugging. And this is actually a pretty big thing. Has anyone programmed in other languages, such as PHP or ASP? Anyone done that before ASP.NET? Yes? How was debugging? Horrible. Not fun at all. Cold Fusion, from the DBML days, was geared toward developers and allowed us to debug our applications very quickly. It showed us the line of code where the error occurred. It showed us the lines before, lines after. It showed us what happened. Literally, it almost did the debugging for us. In fact, we actually talked with Jeremy Allaire at the time. Maybe Cold Fusion just fixed the bugs, and that'll be it. We're going to leave some time for questions and answers. I know this is the pre-lunch session, so we'll try to keep it short and try to get you a head start on lunch. And of course, we're going to show a lot of code. Code, more code. I know you all want to see code, so that's what we're going to see. So what is a bug? What's the definition of a bug? An undesirable behavior of a system. Anyone has another definition? Unplanned feature. That's a Microsoft. You work for Microsoft? No? Okay. I define it a little differently. This is a perfectly reasonable behavior that's caused by an inexperienced user with malicious intentions. Does anyone agree with that? All right. Okay. As I said before, our applications are perfect. When we deploy them, they're perfect until the users start typing. Before the user started typing, there was no bug, right? Therefore, the user must cause the bug, right? But seriously, when we're looking at bugs and debugging, we have to look at several types of bugs. One of them is something we're very familiar with, syntax errors. Sometimes, rarely happens, I mistype variable name, right? It rarely happens. Runtime errors, unplanned events, and of course, logical errors, which are the hardest to debug. So let's look at a syntax error. Can anyone find the error in these two lines of code? URL what? End-coded, right. How many people typed this before? No one? Just me? All right. So this is a simple syntax error. And what would Cold Fusion display? Error occurred. It will show you the line of code. It will highlight it. No problem. Let's look at another type of bug. This is a runtime error example. Now I have a query here that selects the total salary and the number of employees from an annual salary table, where the salary is greater than 100,000, our average salary, right? And then it calculates the average salary. What's the problem with this code? Sorry? If I have no overpaid employees, this will be a division by zero error. So this bug won't, when I browse this page, it'll be fine. But when I deploy the application, and for some reason there's no overpaid employees, I'll get a division by zero error. So this is a runtime error. This is an error that will only happen at runtime, not necessarily when I write the code. Here's a logical error. And these are the hardest to track and find because those relate to your logic. So I have a list, Shlomi, Michael, Emily, and Abraham. I set a flag, Shlomi exists, yes or no. And I use the function list find, my list, Shlomi. Perfectly reasonable, right? And then I display the flag in yes, no format. Now, what will be displayed, yes or no? No. Why? Case sensitivity. And I see this a lot where I come into a shop and they tell me, well, you know, we developed this application and it's not behaving correctly because we thought Cold Fusion was not case sensitive. Well, list find and list find no case and a couple of other functions actually are case sensitive. Let's look at bug escalation. So what do we do when we find a bug? Okay. The first thing we look at, of course, is the code. But sometimes, and it's really rare, but sometimes the bug is not in our code. We have to escalate. We have to move it and look at our database. And I see a lot of cases where I will come in as a consultant to a large corporation, and they've been looking at their code for 7 days, and they can't figure out what's going on. And the problem isn't the database. And the problem that there's no records, the records are corrupt, etc. So you got to escalate your code to the database and then move it up. For instance, let's say we can find the bug. We have to look for the bug in Cold Fusion. Sometimes Cold Fusion has bugs. The application server doesn't behave the way it's supposed to. So we want to look at the current bugs for Cold Fusion. We can see that on the Adobe site. We have to move it up to the web server and see whether that web server might maybe not send us the correct information. This is particularly important if you're using plugins on your web server. Would that be Apache or IIS, if you're using single sign-on plugins, etc. Usually they will mess the server up badly. And when you expect certain variables, for instance, on the CGI scope, and you're not getting them, you might be getting an error. Operating systems. That is very, very rare, but happens. That the operating system will have a bug in it. Especially when someone else decided that they're going to rewrite Linux their way. And their way is much better. And of course, hardware. About a year ago, I went to a very large bank and encountered a weird Cold Fusion problem. We couldn't figure out why the Cold Fusion server was hanging, getting memory corruptions, etc. Ended up just being bad hardware. That was it. We switched to a different piece of hardware and everything worked. So you gotta escalate your bugs. Now the user's approach to debugging is very simple. They keep hitting the refresh button, hoping that it will work better. Or they bang on the keyboard, or they scream at the monitor, etc. Any other approaches you've heard of? They try to hunt you down, right? Call the admin every 10 minutes. Our approach is a little different. What we do, first of all, is plan. And you have to plan on how you're going to debug your application before you launch it and after you launch it. If you have a planned approach for debugging, it's going to save you at least 50% of the time. So what do we do when we catch a bug? After we planned it. The first thing we do is stop, take a breather, and back up or check it into a version control mechanism. That's the first thing you do before you start fixing a bug. Someone once said that If debugging is the process of taking bugs out of a system, programming must be the process of putting them in. So in the process of fixing, often enough, we will introduce new bugs. So please back up. Is anyone here using a version control system? Anyone not? All right. So you should come to my presentation tomorrow about using Subversion with ColdFusion. All right. So after we backed up, we made sure we have a backup for our code. We want to isolate the bug. We want to make sure that we only work on one bug at a time. Often enough, I'll see developers trying to solve three bugs at the same time without realizing that they simply are so codependent that you have to go one at a time. You have to make sure that one bug is fixed before you move on to the next. Find the error, and we'll talk about this a little later. Fix, don't patch. Now, obviously, you've heard this before, and I'll say it again. Whenever you have that urge to patch, don't. Just like the fish stew. It might be tasty, but it'll come back to haunt you a little later. So please, do not patch. Now, is it okay to patch and then set a date to actually fix it later? Is that okay? Yes? No. Why? Why is it not okay? Because it never happens. The last thing we want to do is look for similar bugs. If we have one bug, especially a logical bug, it's very likely that we have other bugs just like it lurking somewhere in the system. So we want to look for similar bugs. And by using a structured approach like that, we can look at bugs and follow a set of steps instead of just trying to fix the bug. Oh, it's fixed. Great. Wonderful. Deploy. Another thing we want to do is document. And managers love that. We documented all of our bugs. Great. But it's really important to document the bugs so that we see that we're not repeating ourselves, that we're not looking at the same bug, that we know who is working on what bug. And we'll talk about those systems a little later. So how do we fix the error? The first thing we want to do is reproduce the bug. A lot of times a user will call me and say, I have a bug, I have a problem with the system, and I can't reproduce it. Until I can reproduce it locally, it's going to be really hard for me to debug the system. Not reproducing it and trying to deploy and ask them if it works is not a good approach. It doesn't really work. Next thing is show your variables. The first thing I do when I'm shown a bug is show my variables. And not just once, but in every single step, almost every single line. I want to make sure that all my assumptions regarding variables are correct. And we'll see the tools that ColdFusion gives you a little later. We want to create breakpoints and follow the flow. What's the easiest way to create a breakpoint? CF abort. We want to use exception handling, like CF try and CF catch. Everyone familiar with those tags, right? Now, when I say use exception handling, I do not mean wrap your entire code with CF try, CF catch. Wrap every single template. And you'd be surprised how many applications I've seen that have CF try and CF catch around every single template. Now, is that going to cause a problem with performance? Not necessarily. However, this is not what CF try and CF catch are for. And it will actually prevent you from using CF try and CF catch correctly. And we also want to look at our application logs. Through the ColdFusion administrator, we'll just look at the text files on a weekly basis, sometimes daily. You want to look at your application logs. You want to be aware of what's going on in your application. A lot of times you identify patterns in your application but just by looking at your application logs, your error logs, etc. And we'll look at some code log analyzer a little later. Now let's look at the tools that we have for ColdFusion tags and functions. Most useful, CF tag after CF output, CF dump, allows us to display any type of variable. CF error allows us to handle error. This is more ColdFusion 6 error handling. CF trace and CF timer are relatively new. CF timer is, I think, 7.0. Is debug mode and on error are both 7.0 features. So let's look at CF dump. CF dump, we simply name our variable, var equals pound sign variable. Now, of course, it's very important to put the pound signs there. If you don't, what will be displayed? Just the regular text, right? Expand, yes or no, tell us whether to expand the CF dump output or not. Label, sometimes it's useful if we have several CF dumps to put a label on the dump. And top. Top is relatively new. It allows us, for instance, if we're dumping an XML variable, we want to only display several levels. So if we're dumping a query, sometimes our query might have 10,000 records, and we want to only dump 4. Then we can simply use top equals 4. Let's look at some examples of CF dump. Can everyone see the code? Yeah? Okay. So I have a simple example. I'm going to create a small structure with my first name, last name, and email. And I'm simply going to dump this new structure. I'm going to browse the page. And I see my regular CF dump. Let's move to another example. Comment this code out. And switch to another example. Actually, one second, I just want to still create those. So, example number two, I have a structure with an array inside of it. And I use a label to label the information. Refresh the page, and of course, I see the structure and the array. Hooray. Next. Everyone's done this before, right? Okay. Let's move on. In the third example, we have a query. And in this case, I'm simply selecting everything from members. And the first dump is going to show me the entire query. The second dump is simply going to limit to 4 rows. So the first dump is a lot of records, too many records. The second dump, with top equals 4, only displays the first 4 rows. This is a new thing. A lot of people are not aware of the top attribute. Yes. In the next example, I'm going to read in an XML file. And in this case, I have a menu.xml. I'm going to put this menu.xml into a variable and then use XML parse to parse that variable. I'm then going to show this variable using cfdump with either top equals 1 or without top. And we'll see what happens. So now, without top, I see the XML attributes. I see the XML document. This is very, very useful, especially if you're working with XML. This is a very useful tag. However, with top equals 1, I won't see the attributes. And CFDump will actually not, it's not just not displaying it on the page. It's actually not sending them back to the browser. And when you're dealing with large XML files, such as, you know, half a gig XML file, this becomes very, very valuable. There's a couple of other uses for CFDump. One that's very, very useful is looking into, for instance, COM object or Java objects. So in this case, this is an example that was originally used by Pete Freytag. And in this example, I'm simply creating a Java object from the Java lang system, and I'm dumping that in using CFDump. Now, what this allows me to do is leverage existing Java classes and gain introspection, look into those Java objects and see what classes, methods, what do they have, what are they made of. So for instance, in this case, I'm simply going to dump the sys object first, and then I'm actually going to dump sys air get class to get more information about a specific class. So here's a Java object. We see all the methods. Check error, wait, get class, etc. We also have, sometimes, we have properties that can be actually accessed as a struct. That's not, that doesn't happen very often, but a lot of times you can actually access some properties as a struct. So I gain a lot of knowledge into those Java objects. In the second CFDump, I actually display the error get class. And this allows me to basically manipulate ColdFusion. And this is not a hack. This is a basic Java class. Another example is very interesting that was originally discussed by, I think, Brian Purcell, was looking into ColdFusion itself and what ColdFusion does using CFDump. For instance, I'm going to create a structure, the same structure we saw before, with stnew equals struct new, first name, last name, and email. Now, in this case, what I'm going to do is dump stnew get class. I want to know what class this structure is made of. And then, not only that, I'm going to get the superclass and get the name of the superclass. And if you've been programming in Java, this will tell you what ColdFusion is doing behind the scenes. Again, by simply using CFDump. So here's CFDump of stnew get class, so this is the structure. And if I look at the superclass, I see that it's actually ColdFusion util fast hash table. So now I gain some knowledge of ColdFusion, how ColdFusion works behind the scenes. And I encourage you to look at CFDump not just as a debugging tool, but also to explore ColdFusion, to see what ColdFusion does, gain a deeper understanding of ColdFusion. Any questions about CFDump? Yeah.
See your example about the CF structure as well as the group. But what about the array append? And then try to dump it.
All right. About dumping at a function, a specific function. Okay. Don't know if you can do that, but definitely look into it after. Next, CF error. Now, most of us know CFR. It's been around for a while. We specify a type, the template path for our error template, the mail-to address for the admin, and the exception type. So for CFR type, exception can basically handle specific exceptions, any exception type, and display some general information. Request is usually used as a backup error handler for any other error handling methods. And validation is when you're using the ColdFusion built-in validation. And before we move on to CF trace, let's look at CF error. I have a simple application CFM. CF error, type equals exception, exception equals any, template equals error. This is the most common use of CF error. The reason is that if you use, for instance, CF error, type equals request, there are things you cannot do. What can you do with CF error, type equals request? Not a lot in the error page. Not a lot. You can display some error variables, but that's about it. Now, with a CF error type equals exception, you can actually mail yourself the error, display better pages to the user, perform logging, etc. So in this case, I'm capturing an exception, and here's a page with an error. This page contains an error, x equals ABC. Of course, there's no such thing as A, B, and C. And notice that I see a page, an error has occurred. Okay, so we know there's an error. This is a nice, well, this could be a nicer looking error message to the user. Now, why else would I not want to display the actual error message to the user? Security, exactly. We don't want to give the user any information they can use against us. So this is a simple way of detecting, capturing errors. And we'll talk about other ways a little later. Now, in CF7, there's a new application.cfc. And application.cfc is different. It's different because it's a CFC and not a CFM file. And in that CFC, who here has used application.cfc already? A lot of you. That's good. So in application CFC, we have the onAir method, and it does something very similar. In this case, I have an application CFC with, in my case, I'm going to just create one function called onAir. It accepts two arguments, the event name and the exception, and does the exact same thing, only this time this is done on the application level. It's a lot cleaner code. It's a lot. Application CFC is just an amazing, amazing thing for ColdFusion. So let's look at a page with error. Again, this time I dumped both the event name and the exception. And if you can see that I have a lot of information in the exception structure. For instance, what was the message, the stack trace, etc. It's very, very useful. So let's look at CF trace. It's relatively new, and it's not used that much. I barely see it used. One thing you have to know about CF trace, a lot of times people will simply use CF output, CF abort, CF output, CF abort. CF trace is a lot more useful than that. For instance, I can specify whether I want to abort on this CF trace. I can specify whether the CF trace is inline or not. Inline means that it will be displayed where the tag is, and not inline means that it will be displayed in debugging information at the bottom. Text, which is simply the text I want to display. Type, we can have a format, debug, etc. Var is variable name, and in this case, variable name without pound signs. So let's look at some examples for CF trace. How are we doing on time? All right. So here is CF trace. Again, I have my familiar structure. And all I'm going to do is use CF trace and trace the variable. Save the file and browse. And if I look at the bottom of the page, I see a trace point. Tells me what template this came from, what line, how long it took to compute. And the variable in this case, stnew, is struct with three elements. I also added the text, creating the structure. Let's take it to the next level. Let's move to a more advanced CF trace. Now, sometime one of these templates is going to produce an error. Now, I'll let you guess when. Here's example number two. Okay. In example number two, I put a CF trace with an end tag around Cold Fusion code. So CF trace allows me to also look at how long it took to execute a piece of code. And in this case, I'm going to choose type equals warning. Refresh this page, and I see a warning. Debug CF trace took 10 milliseconds to run. Let's look at another example. Feel free to stop me at any time if you have questions. In this example, I'm going to use CF trace to display a complex variable. So I have a complex variable. I have a structure with an array inside of it. And this time, I'm going to display use CF trace to display inline. Save it and click on F12 to browse. And look at what happened. I have the CF trace inline with the structure, with all the information. Just like if I were to use CF dump and CF abort. Let's go on. More examples? Yes? All right. Very quiet. CF trace? Some of it will work in 6. Yeah. Right. You have to turn on debugging, of course. By the way, should page debugging be turned on in production servers? No, never. Okay. Now, I'm going to use category. In this case, I'm going to simply use the category attribute to bunch several CF traces together. Sometimes I might have 50 CF traces in one page. So I can categorize CF trace. And now if I look at the bottom of the page, I'll see my CF traces bunched together. Now CF trace is also logged, by the way. Does anyone know where? CFTrace.log, correct. Too much. Let's look at another example. The last example. Yes. No. Okay. Let's look at this example. In this example, I'm simply going to use abort. And this is exactly like using cf abort with cf dump. I can simply abort on this trace. So cf trace is a very, very useful tool, but not a lot of people use it. These code samples will be available on the CF United site. After we finish the presentation, I'll download them to a drive, and the CF United team will have them. You will also, some self-promotion, I'll post it on shlomigantz.com later on today. So if you want it, you can get it from shlomigantz.com. Yeah. Why don't people use it? The reason not a lot of people use it is, first of all, not a lot of people know about it. And a lot of people are just used to debugging with CF output, CF dump, and CF abort. How many people still do that? A lot, right? Sometimes I still do that because it comes in, it's natural. We've been coding since version 3, 4, 1, 1.5, right? We're used to debugging this way. CF timer. CF timer is a really, really cool tag. Before CF timer, when we wanted to time a piece of code, what did we use? Get tick count, right? And now we have a structured way of looking at code and seeing how long it took to execute. For instance, in this case, when you use CF timer, we can put a label on it. We have different types of CF timers, and we're going to look at all the examples of inline, outline, etc. So let's look at CF timer. And the first example is example 0.5. This is the old way. If you're still using ColdFusion 5, 6, you might want to use this. CF set start equals get tick count. We get the current tick count. I'm going to loop for 10,000 times and get the tick count again. And then simply subtract. So this gives me the tick count. Loop for, took 30 milliseconds. Okay. This is the old way. The new way is using CF timer. In this case, line 15 to 17, I loop CF timer, or put CF timer around the loop. And by default, I will see the information in a debugging section. CF timer times, right here. I can also use CF timer to display information in my code. In this case, inline. For CF timer, actually, there's a specific checkbox in ColdFusion that you have to check in order for CF timer to work. Save the file and browse. And in this case, I see CF timer inline. The last example I want to show you is nesting CF timers, since we're running out of time, nesting CF timers with outline. And this is really cool. This uses the field set tag to nest CF timers. So I'm wrapping CF timers around two loops. And in this case, when I browse, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little line, like a field set, around the CF timer block. And this is very, very useful. It puts the information at the top in this case. We also have comment, which simply puts the CF timer information in an HTML comment. Is debug mode? This will return true if debugging mode is set in the ColdFusion administrator. This will return false if debugging mode is disabled. One thing to note about this, if you are using CF settings, show debug output equals no before is debug mode, then is debug mode will show false. Just to show the example, for is debug mode, in this case, for example one, this will give us the correct debug mode from the application. However, for example two, if I use CF settings before is debug mode, this will show me that debugging is disabled, even though the checkbox might be checked in the ColdFusion administrator. The order of error handling. We start by CF catch. If CF catch is present, it will catch any error. Then move on to on error in the application CFC. Then, and only then, move to CF error. But only if the exception type is not request. Then, a site-wide error handler. We can actually define a site-wide error handler in the ColdFusion administrator. Then, CF error with type equals request. Or even display a standard error, which should never, ever happen. The ColdFusion administrator. We're all familiar with that, so we're going to just skip through those. Of course, we have to enable debugging and enable robust exception information if we want to really know what's going on in our template. We can actually change the debugging format. It's a simple CFM template that can be manipulated. We can choose whether we want to display execution times or not. Choose if we want to show database activity. And two new checkboxes are timer information for CF timer and flash form compile errors. And this is critical. Anyone here using flash forms? If you do not check this checkbox, you will not see an error. And I often get calls from people saying, well, I tried using flash forms and I'm getting a blank page. Well, if you're getting a blank page in flash forms, you might want to turn this checkbox on and see what the ActionScript error is. By the way, for flash forms, if you want to see the MXML code from the flash form, all you have to do is dump that form. You give the flash form a name and simply dump that variable. We can also, of course, restrict debugging and logging by IP address. Everyone's familiar with this option, right? Don't forget, use CF try, CF catch, throw, rethrow, and I think there's another presentation just on that. Testing, like using CFC unit, using automated testing will help us through our debug process. CFusion and Fusion Reactors will help us look at our logs, analyze what's going on, find bottlenecks in our application. And there are other techniques. For instance, one technique that's very, very common is to email yourself the error information. Now, why would I email myself the error information? Because it's exactly when, right, I see the error when it happens, not a week later. So when the user calls me, I already have the error information in the email. Not only that, but I will email myself all the information. That includes the form scope, the URL scope, the session scope. So when they say, oh yeah, I put in a numeric value, I can say, no, you put in 1000A. That's not a numeric value. A lot of times, I will get the email, And when by the time they called me, the error is already fixed. So let's look at a template that emails error information. In this case, this is a live application. This is the National Diabetes Education Initiative. And we have an error page here, error.cfm. Now, when a user encounters an error, in this case I deliberately created an error, they just see a nice looking error page. What happened? Something went wrong. Don't worry about it. We're fixing it. We're taking care of it, etc. But in the CF error, in the error.cfm, I'm actually using CFmail to dump everything, the CGI scope as well. And this allows me to, for instance, even capture hacking attacks. A lot of times hackers will try to manipulate URL variables, form variables, etc. I will catch those errors. And when I use the CGI scope, usually they're not smart enough to hide their IP. So in a couple of occasions, we actually tracked down the hackers and told them, well, basically, this is a big, big no-no. And we know who you are, we know where you live, etc. So using a simple CF mail with CF dumps, and let's look at what this looks like. Here's error@arttrack.com. You can see there's a lot of valuable information. For instance, what was the error? What's the CGI scope? What's the form scope, URL scope, and even session? And a lot of times in session, I will store my username, you know, who's the user, what happened, etc. Another common technique that's used is called a debugging switch. Now, when I use an error handler, that really prevents me from seeing the error. And sometimes I actually want to see the error. I don't want to wait for that mail. So we can use a technique called the debugging switch. Now look at my application CFM. I'm simply going to use a CF param, session show debug, and if show debug is true, display the error. Now, if I have a parameter on the URL that says show debug is false, this will disable that debugging for the entire length of the session. So now, I encounter a page with an error. An error occurred. I don't know what the error was. Question mark, show debug equals false. Okay, and of course that didn't work. Forgot to save. Close. And now I can actually see the error instead of the nice error message. Oops, sorry, moved too fast. There are many bug tracking systems available. And if anyone's not recording the bug, there's no reason for you not to document your bugs. There's Bugzilla and FoxBugs, which are Bugzilla is free, open source. Why not use it? FoxBugs is a commercial system, but very, very useful. Lighthouse. Anyone know Lighthouse? Lighthouse is a system that was built by Raymond Camden, built in ColdFusion for ColdFusion developers. Very, very useful for tracking bugs. So I'm going to show you just quickly Lighthouse. Since we don't have an internet connection, we can't really show the other systems. So here is the Lighthouse Pro. Here is Lighthouse. This is free. I click on my project. I can add a new issue, give it a name, what type of issue, it's an enhancement, it's a bug, etc. I can actually click on issues and see the history of that issue, what happened. We have the ability to have multiple users, multiple groups, etc. And again, all free. So there's no reason why you should not use a bug tracking system. So now for some questions and answers. Again, this presentation along with the code will be available on shlomigantz.com. Yes? Right. Sorry, the cftrace.log. Is that created if debugging? I don't know. We can simply test it, but I don't know. Any other questions? Yes?
Question about enabling debugging in the code administrator.
Yeah.
Is it possible to enable debugging on certain applications, or is there like a way to actually code debugging in?
Usually you use the CF settings to do that. So simply use the CF settings, show debug output, and you do that at the application level, and that will take care of it. Yes? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Sorry, there was a... Yes. Outline did not dump the variable. Yes, another question. No, there's no abort. Another question? It's not a bad idea, but again, this won't really affect performance. However, personally, I simply, when I deploy the application, have a little piece of code, a little script that removes all CF trace. I don't like to leave any non-production code. Yeah. What? Sure. Sure. Okay, so thank you very much. And feel free, I'll be here for 4 days, so feel free to come by and ask me any questions. And of course, tomorrow, version control with Subversion.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.